morning, and as we look into the Word of God, we get to see from things from God's point of view, and I think even in the crazy things that are going on now, it's important that we step back and say, no, God is looking at this. All things are under His control, and so it's important to look at what He says in His Word, and it gives us a comfort and peace no matter what the situation. And so He moves within this world, and so we depend on His protection, and we call out to Him. So with that, I'd like to give this time to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You that You've revealed Yourself through Your Word and that You've spoken to us, and You are our teacher, and so we thank You for that. And we thank You that You have not left us alone, and so we just praise You for that. And Lord, I pray You'll just anoint me with Your Spirit. I just speak the things of the Spirit, and I pray that every person listening to this, that You'd open and stir in their heart, and they could really hear from You and see what You're doing, and that You care for us more than we could ever imagine. So we give this time to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of the message this morning is Hidden Things, and so I think that's appropriate. As we look around, we think, golly, what's going on? The Lord says, you know, there are hidden things, and He reveals to us those hidden things. And to start off with, I want us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 through 3. And we'll spend a lot of time in Jeremiah, but Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 3. And let me read that. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call to Me, and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Now, you ever feel, sometimes you just feel alone, you feel afraid, you feel confused. Well, God, who formed this earth and established it for His purposes, knows exactly what is happening, and He promises to take care of His people. Now, when people call to Him, this says that He will tell them great and hidden things that they never knew. See, great things means things beyond our human capacity. Hidden things mean things that are only known to God Himself. And so as Creator, we call to Him, He's going to tell us and reveal these things to us. Now, in this current world situation, God is saying, fear not, little flock, because it's God's good pleasure to take care of us. Now, when we think of this, this should be things we're going through. The first thing we should do is be motivated to turn to God and say, dear God, and present everything to Him and hear from Him. That should be our heart, because as you look around the world and things going on, people are confused. They don't know what's going on, and they are afraid. Now, God actually promises to communicate to His people. God made the earth, and He said, call upon Me. And when you call upon Him, He says, I'm going to reveal to you hidden things. He will tell us things that only He knows. Now, I want us to stop and think about that. This is what God says about Himself. And this is what God is telling us. And so that automatically should move our thoughts and our hearts to look to Him in situations like this. There is turmoil in this whole world because the Bible says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. God is the one who moves in and thwarts the evil one. God is the one who moves in and uses His people. Who are God's people? God's specific people are those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that their sins are forgiven. You become His people when you believe on that. His people that He actually uses in this world. Now, you see this in Scripture, and it's really encouraging, but I'd like you also to turn to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. And what we're going to see is he says this same thing again through the prophet Isaiah. It says this, "Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God because you've accepted me as your Savior. I am the Lord your God and you are my children. Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." Now, so it's saying the same thing again, but I want to for us to look at some of the words here so we can have a better understanding what it says in this section. It says, I am the Lord your God, and he teaches and leads. So there we have that he is active in our lives. As his children, he's moving and he is active in our lives. Teaches, okay, leads, or leads could mean direct. So teaches, leads, or direct. The Lord ministers to his people through the word he speaks. Therefore, when we look at this, we see that God will speak to the mind, or teach, and through the mind, God moves the will, or he directs, in the way we should go. So we see God moving, and he is actively teaching, speaking, and through that mind, when we receive that in the mind, he directs our will in the way we should go. And then it says, he does this for our profit, or for our benefit, so we will succeed. I actually like the way the NIV says it, and he says, he moves us for profit. He says, he moves us to what is best for you. So God is moving with us to move us in the direction for what is best for us. But we have to hear from him, let him teach us, direct us, so he can move us way we should go for what is best for us. That means we have to have a tie into him and hear from him to be where we're supposed to be. Now, in the word prophet, some different Bibles, when you look at that verse, he said he teaches you for your profit. And you need to understand that word prophet, because prophet, in the literal sense, has a wide meaning. Because it says profit, but it also means to have value, have benefit, or to succeed. So it's for our best, and that's the reason NIV is so good. He teaches us and leads us what's best for us. Now, let's think about that and see what the scripture says, see what the Bible is telling us here. And we see in the Bible, when he presents these things to us, the Lord presents them in this way. He says this, thus saith the Lord. What does that mean? He means he has just said this. He has given us something. It's directly from the Lord. And he said, I'm telling you something that's coming directly from me. Therefore, God's going to do what he says because he just said it. He just spoke. God says here in this section, in these two sections, Jeremiah and Isaiah, he says, call on me and I will answer you. Now think about that. Ponder that. Call on me and I will answer you. He's just not going to leave you out there and not know what's going on and not guide you in that specific situation based on what the scripture says. But again, you have to hold the scripture up as inspired. You have to hold your view up that you believe God is speaking to you. And so it's up to us to get in that position to receive from him and what he's telling us. It says it again in Psalms 91:15. And by the way, if any of you are listening to this and say, oh my gosh, I'd like to look at these verses or something, you can get on broadlandscommunitychurch.com and my notes are there. Okay, so you can just download the notes if you want to look at this and research these verses for yourself. But look what it says in Psalm 91:15. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. This is what the Lord's saying. This is what the Lord's saying. Said it in Jeremiah, said it in Isaiah, and he said it in the Psalms. He said it other places also. And he moves over into the New Testament, and he continues to repeat this. And the New Testament says exactly the same thing. I'll use James as an example. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, what does that mean? What is going on? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. As believers, believe in God. We believe God is sovereign. We believe that God moves. We receive our salvation, the forgiveness of sins from the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he has spoken to us through the scriptures. And the scriptures also say, call out to me and I will answer you. God is a real contemporary God, okay? He's moving in our lives with his people. Now, his people who accept him and who call out to him and whose hearts are set upon him. That's the message. Our part of this is to step into a position to receive from God, because God wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's what is so important about the whole thing. Now, taking this information, we'll just take this information, which is, call to me, I will answer you, I'll show you great and hidden things. So he says that. Well, let's take this biblical truth and let's apply it. Now, we have a perfect example of who did this. So it will show us an example of how we should behave and what we should do. And, of course, it's Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke to us, Jeremiah 33:2-3, what we just read, call upon me. Now, we're going to look at Jeremiah, and because Jeremiah believed this, how did Jeremiah pray? How did Jeremiah approach God? So, as we look at Jeremiah, we're going to have a good example of how we should approach God. We have a good example of what our view of God should be. And therefore, because of this, we'll see how, where we should be mentally, spiritually, to receive the things of the Lord. Now, I don't mean to limit God that he isn't moving in all sorts of different ways, but I am talking to each one of us how to step into and receive from him, because he says, call upon me. And so it's really something that is within our own heart and our own view of him. So let's look at Jeremiah. We have an absolute truth, what we've just heard. Call upon me, I will answer you. And so let's look at how Jeremiah prayed, knowing God would answer him. And we're going to start here in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 16 through 7. Now, this is all connected. We started off in Jeremiah 33. This is all connected. Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah 32, verses 16 through 7. I prayed to the Lord. This is what Jeremiah said. I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Now, I want us to look at this, and we're understanding Jeremiah praying in such a way that had power, praying in such a way to receive the things of God. Let's look at what he just said. Now, first of all, and I think this is important, Jeremiah does not believe in evolution. He does not, okay? Jeremiah saw God as a creator. That's how he saw God. Therefore, Jeremiah put everything in that perspective. You see how it had affected his thought pattern, because he saw God as the creator. He knew that his current situation was in the hand of the one who created heaven and earth. He knew that nothing was too hard for the Creator God. God spoke the word, and made something out of nothing. In the beginning was God. And he spoke and created something. So this is Jeremiah totally understood this. Therefore, because of this truth, nothing is too hard for God, because he recognized who God was and is the Creator God. God only has to speak a word to take care of our situation. God, how can you do? How can you take care of that? How can you move in my situation? All he has to do is speak the word. Call on me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things. So all falls in line. God does the impossible so that we will know he is the real and true God. See, God's very contemporary. He did great things in the past, and he's continuing to do great things through his people. Look at Jeremiah 32, verse 20. Jeremiah 32, 20. Jeremiah says, God, you have shown signs and wonders among all my mankind, and you've made a name for yourself as at this day. It comes to mind when Moses approached Pharaoh. Hundreds of years before this, Moses approached Pharaoh, and he says, the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who's the Lord? Who's the Lord? I don't know the Lord. And we have the nine plagues of Egypt, where God revealed himself, where Pharaoh said, you are the Lord. God will reveal himself as the Lord. God will, if you will, he will make a name for himself. He will do that. And so we understand that God will reveal himself, he will make a name for himself, and he will do it in his way, and he wants his people to call upon him, and he can talk to his people and reveal great and hidden things to his people. And so we should be encouraged by this. And by the way, if you read Jeremiah is going through a rough time. This is not a happy time for Jeremiah, okay? So he's calling out to God in a difficult time. And basically what God tells Jeremiah says, you're my man here. You're my man here communicating what's going on. Communicating what's going on. Now, here's what we have. Jeremiah, this is how he prayed. Now, we didn't go through the specifics because nothing's too hard for God, no matter what the specifics are. But we look at this way he approached God, and we can add our specifics, okay? But it's our attitude of who God is and what he says about himself, what? That makes us an avenue for God to work through us and do the things he intends to do. Now, when Jeremiah prayed this way, God was pleased. It made him happy, you know. And it actually says stuff like that. It says, you know, God got angry, God was pleased, you know. Well, this pleased God when Jeremiah prayed this way. So we should be encouraged that when we pray this way and add our specifics, he's pleased. He's pleased with us, just as he was Jeremiah. And look what he says to Jeremiah. So we have these two things that highlighted, these two sections of what Jeremiah said. Listen to how God answered Jeremiah. Now we have it recorded, how God answered Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 26 through 27 says this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now what did Jeremiah just say? God, he recognized who God was. Now we'll jump back to Jeremiah 33. Call upon me and I will answer you. Jeremiah called upon him. And what it says in Jeremiah 32, 26 through 27, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, just like he said it would. So what we have here, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the Lord said this, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" You know what God said? He said just what Jeremiah prayed about him. In a way, he's going, "You're right, Jeremiah. You got this down. I am who you said I am." That's what God, he fed back to Jeremiah. "You got it right. I am who you said I am." Now, what you have here is a connection between God and Jeremiah in this terrible situation. And God has shown as God to do great things. So he and Jeremiah are on the same page. Not that God needed Jeremiah that much to do what he needed to do, but he needed him on the same page for that relationship, and then he's going to use him because of that relationship, and he can't use him the way he wants to unless you have that relationship. And he says, "Is anything too hard for me?" I mean, Jeremiah just said, "Nothing's too hard for you." God goes, "You got it. Nothing's too hard for me." And so here's the picture we have. Basically, God says, "Jeremiah, you're right. Nothing's too hard for me. No one else, or not many, may have understood the greatness of God. But Jeremiah did. But Jeremiah did." That's the key. Well, nobody else, that's not the key. It's us. Do we understand the greatness of God? I just need one. Just need one. And so we have this picture of how God is connecting with mankind, how God is connecting in this world. Now again, I'll say again, I'm not limiting what God does around the world and how he works in every situation, but I am focusing in on how he works on his church. And again, how he works with his church. And again, I focus, the church is those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the church. All the rest of them are counterfeits. The ones who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. That's who he's talking to. Now, because Jeremiah understood who God was, God responded according to what Jeremiah knew to be true. Process that. Because Jeremiah understood who God was, God responded according to what Jeremiah knew to be true. He says it all through the scripture. Just like that. We see it in the New Testament. We're talking about Jesus. When Jesus will speak to the mountain, if you don't doubt in your heart, it will be done for you. Speak because you know, like you know who God is, and when you understand who God is and embrace it, he will reply according to what you understand about him. And so we have this, it's fascinating. So God used Jeremiah in a powerful way because he knew who God was and prayed accordingly. It's important we know who God is before we can pray accordingly. Some of us have little bitty gods, okay? And he said, "No, understand who I am. Understand who I am." What did Jeremiah understand? You are the Creator God who created the earth and everything in it. You are that God. See, Jeremiah knew who he was, and he put everything in that perspective and at his feet. Now, so when we look at this, I mean, we're going to make this contemporary for us, all right? It's not a history book. It is history, but it's not a history book. It's contemporary. So this is how I want you to behave. I want you to understand me, and I want you to understand and walk in it. Now, first of all, I'll just a little paraphrase here. First of all, we have the Bible. And God says about his Bible, it's an inerrant word of God. It's God breathed. It's like God breathed out and the Bible came. Okay? It's God breathed. So when we read the Bible, we understand who God is, understands his thoughts, and understand what he does. Just like we read here in the Bible about Jeremiah. Now we know. Therefore, he spoke to us, and that gives us encouragement, okay, to understand who God is and to live in this crazy world calling upon God. Also, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and the Bible talks about when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Christ, or we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can stir in our heart, bring things to mind, prompt us to do certain things. Always consistent with the Word of God. Always consistent with the Word of God. Has to be. Has to be. Now, I don't want to limit, and I just want to add this just because I don't want to limit anything, and I think this is the primary way God speaks to us now. But I'm not saying this is the only way God can speak to us now. There's a couple of times when God spoke to me, and I didn't hear a voice, but the impression in my mind was so strong, it seemed like a voice, but it wasn't. He brought it through my mind, totally consistent with Scripture. But it was something inconsistent with what I knew. And I reckon, okay, God, yes, I heard you. Now, again, I didn't hear a voice, but it was so strong it almost seemed like it. So what I'm saying, he still talks today to his church, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's who he speaks to. That's who he speaks to. Now, God is speaking to us and telling us great and hidden things to do with the status of the earth, okay? But he speaks to people, that has nothing to do with their status on the earth. You know, well, this guy's a preacher, this guy's a president, this guy's something else. No, that's not his basis. His basis on whom he speaks to are those who see him as God and who he is. And that's who he speaks to. He doesn't care what your status is on this earth. It's the one whose heart is focused on him. And he will speak and direct that person. Now, God speaking to us only depends on our view of God. Amen? That's it. Our view of God. I don't care if you got $1 billion, $1 million, or 24 cents. He speaks to us based on our view of God only. Only. Now, I'm going to share this verse, and I just felt like it fit for this, okay? And there's other verses I could have looked at, but I want to share this verse just kind of to drive home this point. And I'm using it in a little different way, but Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And again, God speaking to us is based on our view of God. Galatians 2:20 says this. Paul's talking, by the way. Wrote three-quarters of the New Testament, okay? He's talking. So he has a lot going for him, you know. But here's him talking. He says this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now think about that. Think about that. What he's saying here, by saying, I'm crucified with Christ, crucified, I mean, crucifixion means death. I mean, that's what it means, okay? Crucified, using the term crucified, shows the uselessness of our human effort. Okay, if that doesn't go against the grain, crucified shows the uselessness of our human effort. And as believers within the church, he spends a lot of time teaching us not to rely on our human effort. All right? And so that's what it means by being crucified. See, uselessness of our human effort. However, when he says that, he also says this. But Christ lives in you. Mighty God comes and indwells through his Spirit in us. So he just said two things. Crucified with Christ. However, Christ lives in me. That means Christ lives in us with all the authority and power
of God. Okay, believers within the church, look this verse up, read it. That's what it says, Christ in you. You cannot interpret it any other way. Christ in you means that Christ is present with all the authority and power of God. He lives in you. And he just says, your human flesh is useless, but you have Christ living within you, and therefore you move with all the authority and all the power of God. Now call on me, and I will answer you based on the authority within you. Amen? Amen. And so you think, oh my goodness, we are, now here it is, the church, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received Christ, Christ indwells them. What God is saying, we are the temple of the living God. And that's what it says in the New Testament. We are the temple of the living God. How are we the temple of the God dwells in us? There it's where he is, and therefore we're his temple because he's there. Amen? And so we see this. Now, here's an application. We should not fear. What? The temple of the living God, Christ in us. Did Jesus Christ fear? No. Why should we fear? He indwells us. We're the temple of the living God with his power and authority. Now, we call on the Lord. Therefore, is the temple of the living God, Christ in us. We call on the Lord and he answers us. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ is in me. My independent view working out of my fleshly nature is not what drives me anymore. What drives me now is the presence of Christ in me, and I call upon him, and he answers me, and he directs my life. And this is where we are today. This is what the New Testament says about us today. Now, we process this, it's like, oh my goodness. By the way, I won't back up. This is what the Bible says. BroadlandsCommunityChurch.com, go and get the notes. You look it up. Christianity is based on the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible says. Then if the Bible says it, we need to take it to heart and believe what it says, and operate in what it says. And you know what? It's time like these. We say, okay, we should be going. Okay, dear God, I'm calling out to you as the temple of the living God. I'm calling out to you, and there's a relational connection, and how can I be an avenue for your power in this world? There is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. And so we need to be thinking along those lines. Because he, call upon the Lord, and he will answer us. Now, I want to drive this home in the closing remarks here. God has already, now I'm talking to the church, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is who I'm talking to. God has already revealed to his church great and hidden things. He's already done it. He's already done it. It was, oh man, how's this ever going to happen? No, he's already done it. We're just asking him to continue to do it, all right? Because he's already done it. And so he's already revealed us great and hidden things that we cannot comprehend, the church. Do you want to hear one? You say you're in a church? Here's what he has spoken to you. You called to him, and he answered you, and he revealed to you great and hidden things. He said, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And the church goes, amen, because that's what you've told me. That's what I believe in. You didn't make that up. You didn't even write it up. You didn't even think it was a cool thing. It was revealed to you by God. The world will not accept it because it doesn't make sense. because it has to be revealed to you by God. And you, when the world who doesn't know God calls to Him, He will reveal to them great and hidden things. And the first thing's going to be, it will be Jesus saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. That's what He's going to reveal to the unbelieving world. That's the first thing He will reveal before He tells them anything else. Amen? So, look here. This is fascinating. Here we are in this situation. All right? God has revealed to us truth about Jesus. Okay? We all say yes. Then what we want Him to do is to continue to reveal more things to us about Jesus and what He wants to do. And He wants to do it. And like Jeremiah said, nothing's too hard for you because He's the Creator God. Well, I don't know if I believe He's the Creator God. Then you stepped out of the power of His flowing through you because you denied who He is. So here we have it. He's going to continue to reveal things. He already has revealed something that's hidden. The world can't think it up. It was hidden, but He revealed it to you. He is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, here we are as believers, and this is what I'm going to close with, this line. Our life is one miracle and divine opportunity after another. That's who we are. That's who Christians are. Our life is one miracle and divine opportunity after another. Do not be afraid. Amen? All God's people said. And anyone listening to this, amen. Don't be afraid. It's the evil one. It's the evil one that makes us afraid. Why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not left us alone. You have not left us alone. You are working today like You have throughout all history. And You're looking for those people who would give their heart to You. It comes to my mind is what is a shoe salesman, D.L. Moody, a Sunday school teacher shared with D.L. Moody. He says, the world has yet to see what God will do through one person totally given to Him. That's not changed. God did magnificent things through D.L. Moody because He took it to heart. But He's speaking it to everyone. Everyone. And what, and by the way, D.L. Moody was uneducated. I think he went to the third grade. See, and what God is looking for is a heart. He's looking for a heart, not status. He's looking for a heart. Then it's not us, it's the living God that moves through us. Oh, God, we thank You. We love You. We give all thanks to You. We thank You that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And we trust in Him. We are forgiven and born again, become children of God. And You want to use us as Your children and grow us and teach us and use us in this world to proclaim Your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, I thank You. I thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I pray for the fear that's going on, this crazy virus. I just pray You end this thing, but I pray You have Your people to turn their eyes upon You and call unto You. I pray that those that don't know You would know, look around and say, oh, there's a living God. We got to look at something bigger than this, bigger than the mess around us. We got to look at something that has oversees all this and call upon You and to be able to come into Your kingdom. So God, we thank You. We rest in You. Pray You move. Supernatural power, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.